Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
I told you yesterday, Rob Parker, the more I think about it, the more I like Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. And Vegas just kind of seconded what I'm saying by making Tampa Bay, I think, the fifth best odds of winning the Super Bowl. Is that correct, Rob G?
That is correct.
All right, so give us the odds, where they're at, and then we'll get into it. Are they really legit contenders with Tom Brady?
That's right. These odds are a courtesy of Bet Online. Now, the Bucs Super Bowl odds a few weeks ago were 66-1 after the Super Bowl. They went to 40-1 when the rumors hit that Tom Brady might be available. They're currently at 20-1. If these odds hold, which right now they are, they're bigger favorites than the Patriots, and right now they're fifth in the NFL altogether behind the Chiefs, Ravens, Niners, and Saints at 20-1.
All right, Rob, I'm going to let you have first crack. And look, here's the question. Are the Buccaneers Super Bowl contenders now?
No way, no how. This is once again a fraudulent, and I say fraudulent, attempt to get people worked up and like something's going on here. I'm sorry. Move along. There's nothing going on. Go back to your cars and your houses. If I was a cop, that's what I would be telling people. It's just fraudulent. This is what they do. They're just trying to get people to bet money on the Bucks, and this is what they do. We saw this last year, and people keep falling for it. Last year, Chris, you fell for it. When it came to the Cleveland Browns. Yes, you did.
I didn't fall for it because of Vegas.
No, but you fell for the whole idea.
And you thought the Chargers were legit.
Can I get my minute?
So what's the point?
I'm trying to get my minute in. All I'm saying is you went gaga once the Beckham trade was made. Oh, my God. The Browns, look at, they're going to go to the playoffs. ESPN and Fox, everybody grabbed all their games, put them on all the national games. We got to see the Browns. Look at the roster. How are they going to stop these guys? Oh, my God. This is unbelievable. That's what we were sold. And I told people back then and back at that time, they're not making the playoffs. And I'm going to tell you right here and right now that the Bucs aren't doing anything special, aren't making the playoffs with or without Tom Brady. He is not that guy. He's 43. There's a reason that the Patriots stepped away from him. There's a reason there was no market for him other than bad teams that were willing to pay the bad team tax. Tom Brady is washed. I'm sorry. It ain't happening. It's a pipe dream. It'll be a disappointment. People will look and go, oh, well, what'd you expect? He's 43 years old. Oh, what do you expect? Tampa Bay made the playoffs in 12 years. You want him to make a miracle? What do you want from him? This is what we'll hear when it's all said and done. I want you to mark down this tape, Rob G, and remember it. All right? Because I'm telling you right now, this is a fraud. Tom Brady's washed. The Tampa Bay Bucs are no good. Even in that division, you still have New Orleans. I'm not even buying it. I don't care what the extra teams or whatever. They're not Super Bowl contenders. They're not going to win anything. And they will be the Tampa Bay Bucs with an old quarterback. And they'll have to live with the fact that they gave Tom Brady a $60 million retirement package.
Enough! Enough of the gibberish! Enough of the foolishness! Stop it, Rob Parker. Now, I'm not going to sit here and predict Tampa Bay is going to win the Super Bowl or even get there. But if you make the playoffs, as we've seen, wild card team after wild card team win the Super Bowl, if you get to the second season, you got a shot, especially with a quarterback like Tom Brady. And I'm telling you, I didn't go there yesterday, but I'm going there today. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will make the playoffs and thus be a Super Bowl contender. I'm looking at the NFC, and the NFC is legit. But it's legit because you got a lot of parity. You got a lot of teams that are on the same level. Philadelphia, are they scaring anybody? No! Dallas, are they scaring anybody? No! Green Bay, are they scaring anybody? No! Minnesota, no! Chicago, who's the quarterback? New Orleans, Drew Brees is old and he fades after 12 games. We've seen that the last 2 years. Nobody else in that division is doing anything. San Francisco, okay, they had a great defense. They had a great season. But are you willing to bet your hard-earned money that they're definitely getting back to the Super Bowl? No! Seattle, they got Russell Wilson doing it by himself year after year after year. The Rams, who knows? Todd Gurley's done. He can't do much anymore. I mean, it is wide open. That's what I'm saying. And they, with their weapons, Tom Brady struggled in a few areas last year. The red zone, horrible. He didn't have any tight ends. But now he's got not one, but two good tight ends in Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard. We don't have to talk about the great receivers he's got. He's got an offensive line to protect him. The defense is better than the numbers said last year. And they're improving. I'm telling you, Rob, they are. And it's an extra team getting in the playoffs in every conference. Now you got seven teams in the NFC, seven teams in the AFC. Oh, they're getting in and they're contending. Again, I'm not going to predict they're going to win the Super Bowl or get there. But their hat will be in there. They will be one of the teams in the running, and we'll see what they do. They got a good coach, Bruce Arians. And don't think he's going to have Tom Brady trying to throw the ball downfield all game. He will adjust. He needs a Super Bowl. I like Bruce Arians. I think Bruce Arians is excellent. But he's made the playoffs two times in 7 years as a head coach? So he's going to adjust. He wants to win. He will adjust to his quarterback, and it'll be a mix of Bruce Arians' offense and a lot of the play action and all that that you saw Brady do so well in New England. And I'm telling you, good move, Buccaneers. They will be in the playoffs. They will contend. Feel free to drop that mic, Alex. You done?
If you got to beg for it. I didn't beg. I said it once.
I was releasing him. I set him free.
But you got to beg for it, Alex. That's the bad thing is that I never call for anything. Alex just feels the moment. He understands it, and he does his job. He don't have to be prompted to tell people what to do. He's
Alex,
a talented guy.
That's my man right there. I said, Alex, get Kawhi ready.
You know, I never say that.
Oh, please. You run into the booth.
No,
get Kawhi.
Don't.
Get this music. Get that music.
I'm trying
get
to
the
produce.
Crickets.
I'm
the
trying
crickets
to super produce
the
show.
The
I'm trying to super produce the show.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This is, I think you agree with this, the end of a dynasty. The greatest dynasty we've seen in sports. And I grew up a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I loved all of them.
I just want to get clarification. When you say the greatest dynasty, you're talking about either the first three out of four or the last three.
I'm talking about the whole shebang.
That's not a dynasty.
20 years.
That's not. There's no such
20
thing.
20 years, every year they were in the hunt.
No,
and
that's
then
not,
they
that's
won
not
six.
A dynasty. It's about
who's
winning.
Won, who else has won six in 20 years?
No, but that's not a dynasty. It's just like the San Antonio Spurs.
No, San Antonio never won back-to-back.
Right.
But I mean, I think they were a dynasty, too.
The Patriots went 10 years without winning.
Twice they won back-to-back?
To me, that's not a dynasty to go 10 years without a championship.
You got two look, separate.
They were
you
in the hunt
separate.
Every one of those 10 years. They had the same pieces.
I'm just saying to me. I would agree when with I look you, at a dynasty. You cannot go 10 years and act like it's an extension of what happened.
It
I
was.
Get it that Belichick
one of those
and Brady
years
was there, but it's not the same.
One of those years they were arguably they lost, so they can never go down as the best team of all time, obviously. But had they won. They went, what, 18-0. I mean, so I would agree with you if Brady wasn't there. Even if Belichick was, but they had different quarterbacks, different regime, I would agree with you. But this was all under Tom Brady. Now, look, we got different definitions of dynasty. Fine. The point is, whatever you want to call it over the last 20 years, it's over. And the question I want to throw out, Rob, is who's to blame? Is it Brady? Is it Belichick? Is it somebody else? What's your take?
Who's to blame why this is over?
For the end of the dynasty, yes. It's dead.
I think it's a natural finish of a dynasty when you have older players in question like Tom Brady. Tom Brady, they were not winning another Super Bowl with Tom Brady at quarterback. They understood it. That's why they didn't go out of their way to try to get him back. I think this is a natural end. This is not Reinsdorf breaking up the Bulls and telling Phil Jackson to get lost and Michael Jordan saying, hey, I'll come back if you bring Phil back. That Jerry Reinsdorf ruined that dynasty and ended that whole run. This is natural. Tom Brady is old. Tom Brady is washed up. That team, everybody talks about it. Where are the players? He has no playmakers. There are no. This is natural. It's a natural progression of something coming to an end. So I'm not saying Tom Brady broke it up or Bill Belichick. Nature broke this up because Tom Brady's old and washed up. The team had gotten old, and it's a time to make changes and to start anew. It happens all the time. But I'm not gonna tag this on Bill Belichick because he didn't want to sign a 43-year-old quarterback to $60 million. And last year at the end of the season, Tom Brady struggled, and we all saw it. And his last pass as a New England Patriot was a pick six.
I'll agree with you in that this was natural. As far as, well, let me put it this way. I agree with you in that it was over. I don't think, looking at how good Kansas City is, looking, you know, if Baltimore, we'll see if Lamar Jackson can, you know, win in the playoffs. But I think it was likely over. That said, I don't think it was just natural. When we talked about the ones that were natural. Joe Montana, they had Steve Young to replace him. Steve Young's a Hall of Famer in his own right. So we got the young future Hall of Famer. Let's get rid of the old guy, no matter how great he was. Peyton Manning, you had Andrew Luck waiting in the wings. Time to move on. Peyton's hurt. We don't know exactly what he's going to be like when he comes back. Let's go with the young gun. That's natural. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers been waiting in the wings for 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it was. Let's get him in there now. Brett's old. It's time to move on. Those were natural. This one isn't natural to me because there's no heir apparent. And it looks like there's not going to be. Even if you go out and get an Andy Dalton, a Jacoby Brissett, they're not your future. So in that regard, it wasn't natural. That's why I put more of the blame on Belichick for ending it now. And again, I'm not saying they were going to win a Super Bowl. I don't think it was completely out of the question. Had they been able to swing a trade for a Stephon Diggs, a DeAndre Hopkins, and maybe add somebody else as well, maybe they would have had a chance. But the reason it is over is, in my view, because of Bill Belichick. It's over because of him. He was ready to move on. And you're right, Rob. I wouldn't have been gung-ho about giving a 43-year-old, no matter how great he is, 2 years. But what I think Belichick should have done is instead of essentially forcing Brady out, Go get one of those great receivers. Heck, Bill O'Brien came out up under you. I imagine they still got a relationship. Go see if you can get Hopkins or somebody else. And go for it one more time with Tom Brady. So that's why I think that if I had to put it on somebody, it would be Belichick. I do agree with you, though, that I think they probably weren't winning a Super Bowl anyway.
No, I just don't see it. Yeah, I think time catches up with all teams, and you have a nice run. There comes a time, and Bill Belichick was trying to do it earlier because he knows how this thing works, and that's why he had Garoppolo there. They win a Super Bowl. The owner goes, no way, no how. We're getting rid of moving on from Tom Brady. And so there you go. So it wound up going a bit longer than maybe they expected. But the bottom
they can't complain. They got a Super Bowl out of that.
I get it. But I'm just saying, under normal circumstances, what he was doing was trying to set the franchise up for the next run. And you can't do it with a 43-year-old quarterback. Good luck for Tampa Bay. They could have taken that $60 million and thrown it into the Tampa Bay into the water, and they probably get the same result, which will be no Super Bowl. So, I know they're trying to sell tickets and they're trying to win and they think they got a formula and a coach and all that. You mentioned it earlier. For all the praise that Bruce Arians gotten, 2 playoffs in 7 years isn't that great, but we'll see. I don't think it's going to happen, but in New England, Bill Belichick will have to show people how he gets this thing done, how he turns it around. He did. You could poo-poo him all you want about he didn't win without Tom Brady or whatever, but he did have Garoppolo. He did believe in Garoppolo. He did think that guy was going to be something. And all I know is he had to feel pretty good that Garoppolo was in the Super Bowl this year, whether it was led by the defense or not, the quarterback that he had as the heir apparent. And I think that's really how he got his power back in New England. You know, I really do. If Garoppolo wasn't there, I don't know if Bob Kraft would have overruled.
I think Kraft understood. I mean, remember, Kraft loved Drew Bledsoe and gave in on that.
But the way he did with Brady and the way he talked about it, you remember
he kept thinking that. But he used to talk about Bledsoe as his son, too.
But you were talking about you thought he was coming back because Bob Kraft kept saying, no, we want Brady back, and you figured that he might step in the 11th hour and do something, but that didn't happen. But anyway.
The Patriots, Rob, and I've said this for a long time, they are the San Antonio Spurs of the NFL. And the Spurs are the New England Patriots of the NBA. And I say that for several reasons. One, they both had, I call it dynasties, you call it just a good run, whatever, for 20 years. And the reason they were able to do it was because they had a superstar who bought in. Tim Duncan allowed Greg Popovich to coach him, allowed Greg Popovich to yell at him and treat him just like everybody else. He was the selfless, super duper star, all time great. So everybody else had to buy in. Same thing in New England. Tom Brady is that once in every 10, 20 years superstar who just buys in. Like you say, like you're always saying, took less money. So did Duncan. He, you know, let Belichick talk to him and treat him just like everybody else. Yell at him, all that. And that's why the dynasty worked. You had 2 domineering coaches, Popovich, Belichick, and Rob. They both had succession plans, like you said. Kawhi Leonard was supposed to be the succession plan in San Antonio, and he would have been a great one. Jimmy Garoppolo was supposed to be the succession plan in New England. I don't know if they would have won Super Bowls, but he would have been a good one. They would have still been right there. And it fell apart. And what I'm saying, just like the Spurs are done, and I'm not just talking about for this year. They're done. Unless they somehow get another Tim Duncan, but I don't think that's coming along. The Patriots are done. They'll be pretty good. They'll hang around because Belichick is such a great coach. But they're not, neither one of them, the Spurs or the Patriots, is going to find that completely selfless superstar who's willing to put up with all the garbage the coach puts them through because they're just a team guy. Most guys like aren't like that today. Kawhi was like, no, I'm not going for it. And he's gone. And Garoppolo, it wasn't his choice, but he's gone. And I think both of these places, the Spurs, the Patriots, they're done. They're not going to win it all for who knows how long. Their days of winning championships are over. And as much as they were built the same way and ran the same way for 20 years, they're falling the same way.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Next guest is a four-time Super Bowl champion. Now on SiriusXM NFL Radio, he's a host there. Charlie Weiss. Charlie, welcome to The Odd Couple.
What's up, Charlie?
By the way, that was very good on your read. You know, I enjoyed listening to your Geico read, you know.
Thank you. Hey, you know how difficult these things are, that you in our business.
Aren't they a pain in the butt now? They are a pain in the butt. But
hey, they pay the bills. Geico, right. You love Geico. Charlie, you don't remember we ran into each other at a department store in suburban Detroit. I think we were both trying to look through the clearance racks, but this was years ago.
Yeah, we were looking at different sizes. That's
yes,
all.
We were. I was going to say. Right. Since I'm 6'4".
Well, Charlie, let's get to, obviously, the news is Tom Brady. And you obviously have a good relationship with him. Robert Kraft was telling everybody, you know, a couple days ago that Tom wanted out, and he just granted his wish after 20 years with the team. Did he want out, and if so, why?
Well, I mean, if Mr. Kraft says that Tommy told him he wanted out, then Tommy wanted out. You know, I've been talking about this now for the last couple of days. Actually, I've been talking about it for the last month.
Right.
Because what I basically was saying is the closer this gets to March 18th, you know, the less likely he's going to end up in New England. And as tough as that was for anyone to comprehend, me included, you know, when it got to the time where the legal tampering could start, I knew there'd be teams that would offer him significantly more money, that had better weapons. So, you know, that would be attractive, but you just can't imagine him cutting that umbilical cord and after 20 years. But, you know, he obviously, I'm not sure, you know, there's about a half dozen things that I think came into play here, but I'm not sure in what order they come. I don't know if it's about your ego getting stroked, not feeling wanted, feeling underappreciated with their offer, the freshness or the first time you get an opportunity to be a free agent, the newness, the excitement, you know, the challenge of going somewhere else and proving you can do it. There's all sorts of things that could have come into play. So at the end of the day, you know, the Patriot guys that come out of that program, you know, from the owner to the head coach to the GM to the assistant coaches, the players, everyone kind of totes the line and says the right things. So, you know, right now it's a love fest. We all know that eventually it's not going to have been a love fest. There obviously is animosity, or else there wouldn't be separation. And it can't be any clearer than that.
And Charlie, that was my point as well. I never believed he was coming back. When they tell you to go check the market and see what your value is, you don't tell your girlfriend or your wife to go date around and then come back and let's see what we can figure this out. And then to give them an offer, which was a slap in the face, to be honest, a 1 year at a pay cut.
But we don't know what that offer was.
Well, but that, you know, just from what,
yeah,
the reports
but we don't
were.
Know. But we really don't know what it was.
But it wasn't $60 million.
But that's one of the things that bothers me. Everyone thinks they know. I mean, the only people who know are Bill and Tommy, Don Yee. There's a couple of people who know whatever they talked about. Obviously, Mr. Kraft knows, too. But there's very few people who know. See, in my relationship with them, I don't ask. Those aren't the type of things I talk to him about because it would ruin my relationship. You know, I ask him about his wife. I ask him about his kids. You know, I ask about the bigger things. Like my kid's a college coach. He's coaching for USF, which is in Tampa. He just took a job there. So my kid's all excited that Tommy's going to be in Tampa. I mean, so from the Weiss family perspective, this is great. I get to go watch his game on Saturday, go watch his Buck game on Sunday, and drive on back to South Florida. Sign me up.
Charlie Weiss joining the iCouple. Charlie, why, if you're New England, why not go out? Stephon Diggs and DeAndre Hopkins were clearly available. Why not go out and get one of them and maybe another, try to get another weapon or something, and bring Brady back for another go-round?
You know, when I saw Hooper go to Cleveland, you know, I'm throwing him into this too, because I think the loss of Gronkowski was the biggest blow of all last year. You know, one of his security weapons, was security blankets wasn't out there, and it was a glaring void from my viewpoint. But when I saw, you know, Arizona basically steal DeAndre Hopkins, who might be the best receiver in football, he's certainly in the discussion. You know, and then I watched Stephon Diggs go for really a couple of late round draft choices. You know, the one, of course, but a couple of late round draft choices. You know, there's a criteria that could have been the icing on the cake. That could have been the one that said, look it. I mean, here's some guy that they could have gotten a receiver that takes the top off of the defense. Yep. Okay, and got me a security blanket at tight end. Those guys are gone too. Who's left? You know, and really, other than the draft, who are you going to go get? Robbie Anderson? You know, is that who you're going to get? Are you going to be happy with him being the guy? I mean, what tight end's left that's out there that's of note? I mean, you're gonna have to trade for one or go get one in the draft. And you know, the guy's 42, going on 43 years old. I think that's not exactly what he's looking for.
And the idea that let's not act like Tom Brady's skills haven't diminished. He had put up one of his worst seasons. I know they were 12-4, Charlie, but if you dig a little deeper and look at stuff, the numbers weren't there. We saw in the playoff game that they lost. That Brady, there were times he did really well early in the season against some pretty bad teams and then struggled against some of the better teams and better defenses.
Okay.
I don't know what he's got left.
Now I'm going to defend him. Okay. Now I'm going to throw two things at you. One is, anytime a quarterback for the year has a 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio or higher, I consider it a good year. Okay, he was 24-8. Okay, 24 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. So in my eyes, that qualifies as a solid year.
Does it matter who you beat, Charlie, at all? Does it matter?
Let me agree with you and say that a lot of them were early.
Okay.
How about who you're throwing to?
Thank you.
I mean, you got one legitimate guy, and he's a slot receiver. You got no legitimate outside receiver. I think Sanu is a good 2 or 3. I mean, he was a 3 in Atlanta. You know, Calvin Ridley was the 2. Julio Jones was the 1. Sanu was the 3. I mean, so he's a good 3. Okay, but who were 1 and 2? You got a slot receiver. You don't throw the ball at all to the tight end. I mean, James White was your next best receiver on your team, and he's a running back.
So, Charlie, all that said, we know he's got weapons now in Tampa Bay. What do you expect from Brady and the Buccaneers next year?
Well, the Buccaneers better be ready for a change in, a change in the locker room of leadership by a veteran player like this, because this guy will be on a mission. He'll be on a mission to prove You know, he's always had a chip on his shoulders. In his entire career, I've had to deal with him and his chip on his shoulder. And trust me, that chip didn't get any smaller, you know, him leaving New England. As a matter of fact, the chip might have gotten even bigger. So I think Tampa, they'll go get themselves another running back. They'll help themselves out on the offensive line. They'll probably go get themselves another receiver. Okay, some in the draft, some in free agency. Okay, but what they're definitely going to get the best out of him walking in there is a built-in attitude adjustment. You know, the coaching staff shouldn't be doing cartwheels, because what they just got is what they always want. That guy who walks in the locker room and automatically, not only does he lead by example, but he doesn't accept anything other than doing it that way.
Mm. All right. Well, Charlie, great stuff. We appreciate
we'll
it.
We'll have
we
you back
get
on.
You on again. Yes.
Yeah, when Tampa Bay doesn't make the playoffs and Tom Brady looks like a 50-year-old quarterback.
Let me tell you something. If that's how you're betting, you better just save your money. I know the casinos are all closed anyway.
Hey, Charlie, okay. I'll bet you a Wingstop, a 10 chicken wings, any flavor you want. I'm saying
you
Tampa won't
you're
make
on.
The playoffs.
We're on.
Let's do it.
Okay, you're on. I'll take that bet.
All right. Thanks a lot, Charlie. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.